Blog Talk Radio.
Jim Berg from Killer Bees Barbecue Team here out of Augusta, Georgia. I tell you what, the only thing shaking last Friday and Saturday night was sitting in there in between two train tracks while we were trying to do our cook up there. Greer, South Carolina, we were waiting between two train tracks, and I'm going to tell you what, they shook us all night long. We had a pretty good cook up there. We had 32 themes for the Greer Sweet release. A really good venue for helping out local charities and stuff. It's kind of like the like a food bank up there that we were helping out for people who need the food and distribute it all throughout the county and everything. So it was a really good event, really good charity event for the city of Greer, nestled between Greenville, South Carolina, and Spartanburg, South Carolina. So not too bad drive for us. Several teams came from a pretty good little distance to compete in that contest. Like I said, we had 32 teams. We had Smokehouse Mafia up there, Chick Swan Bovine, Midnight Burn, Curly Tails, Too Bad You're My Cousin. We had Wayland's Wickedly Good Q, several other good teams, Kickback Cove Racing. It was a who's who. We had even had Berry Patch doing their, I think it was their first or second pro competition. I think it was actually their first pro competition, and they got a call. They were really excited about that, and I'm sure Jamie will call in a little bit later. We've got a really good show tonight. We've got Mike Richter from Chick Swan Bovine calling in. We're going to talk to him about his past success and where he's headed to this year and what he's been up to. He hasn't cooked a whole lot. We'll find out why. And we've also had some other contests in the area. We had the Kennesaw Pigs and Peaches up there in Kennesaw, Georgia, where Q and Stewing and Brewing, one of the guys that sponsored me through TNT or Southern Q Smokers, he's the guy that builds them. Scott Smith, we want to take our hats off to him. Great GC up there in Kennesaw against around 60 of the best teams in Georgia. Congratulations, Kudzu Q, for taking reserve grand there. And several other teams took calls. Pitbulls Up and Smoke, Bubba Q, Georgia Boys, Wicked Q, a lot of these other good Georgia teams have some really good calls up there. We also want to congratulate B&T Cook Team out of Florida for taking the Amelia Island contest there. A lot of Florida teams over there, Woolly Bully, Barbecue Mafia, took fourth overall. A strong showing for the FBA teams in a KCBS contest. We're always good to see there. It's a good blend, a good mixture of teams. So, you know, we'd like to give our hats off to all the people that got calls down to Amelia Island. I know it was a great event and great setting. So, from what I found out, everybody had a really good time down there. But anyway, we did okay this past weekend up in Greer, South Carolina. We finished up fourth overall. They had a Taster's Choice that kind of helps out the charities for the area. So, we elected to go ahead and do that to help out Caroline up there with that. And we usually don't do Taster's Choice or People's Choice or anything. We will if it's a total blind judging, as most teams will know why. But anyway, we did it. It was totally blind judging. Didn't know how it was going to work out, but Killer Bees came out on top. We got our first ever Taster's Choice trophy up there, which, you know, it pretty much went downhill after that. But anyway, we did get a trophy. But we did get a call, third in chicken. We got a sixth in ribs and took a first in brisket. Now, when you're talking about brisket, you got Chick Swan Bovine and Smokehouse Mafia. Both of them are top 25 in brisket in the country. Chick Swan Bovine was actually second in the country last year in brisket. So when you can get one up on teams like that, that tells you right there that you're heading the right direction. Want to give a call out for a Houston friend. They took first in brisket up there at Kennesaw. Our good friends, the Georgia boys with Don Adams and Bo Tomlin, they were nipping on their heels. It was like 14 one-hundredths of a point separated first and second up there. So a lot of great brisket cooks in Georgia. Just a lot of cooks in general from Georgia. We had the final standings was Smokehouse Mafia took Grand Champion and Chick-fil-A Bovine took Reserve Grand. Then Midnight Burn out of Hendersonville, North Carolina, who owned the Flat Rock Wood Room, they took third place. Killer Bees took fourth place. And then our neighbors, some really good friends of ours, Anthony and Lanane from Curly Tails, they took fifth overall. So really good showing for them. Of course, Wayne's Weekly Good Q had a top 10 overall, seventh, I believe. And Brad K even had an eighth or ninth overall up there, which was a good showing for them. So really good to see a lot of friends out. It's really fun competing. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Royal Oak Charcoal, some of the finest charcoal in the world. We have Fireside Outdoor Kitchens and Grills. We have Southern Q Smokers who supply us our smokers, high quality, you know, fair price smokers. You can get in one of these for $2,800 and never be sorry you did. We've also got Phoenix Printing who does wraps and T-shirts and hats and everything for a lot of barbecue teams from this area. So you can go online to phoenix.com out here in Augusta and see if they can hook you up on some apparel. So, but anyway, we're chugging along. We've got quite a few events coming up. This week we'll be down in Myrtle Beach. We'll see some of our good friends, Pickin' Porkers, and Midnight Burn will be there, and Smokehouse Mafia will be there, and Pitbull's Up in Smoke, and some good friends out of Charleston Qology. We've known them for a few years, and always fun to be around. They'll be down there. And several other teams, it's hard to figure out on that who's going to be there, but we'll be doing a double event. We'll be doing KCBS and SBN. And as for bragging rights, last year at this time, I took both the KCBS and SBN events down there, which nobody had ever done before. So it was a really good honor. I was the first one to do it. That was my claim to fame, my 15 minutes of fame, and hasn't been done since. So I'm still holding on to that. But anyway, it's a really good event. We're out there on a big football field, and, you know, Myrtle Beach, you can't go wrong there. They have great beach music. You have a big headline on Saturday night. Last year it must have been, shoot, anywhere from 7,000 to 10,000 people out on that huge field to watch the Saturday night show. And I'm going to tell you what, it was a really good show. Of course, Myrtle Beach has a lot of restaurants and everything to go eat at, and with the barbecue is coming down there. We do a really good impact on the area, even though it is Labor Day. We still have a few. Hoping to see my good friend Rob Marion down there from Two Worthless Nuts. Hope he'll make it back again this year. He was a blast last year. And I know he's really helping our troops out and stuff. So we'll see if we can get him on down there. And anyways, anybody got some events they want to talk about in the next few minutes, whatever, just give us a call. We've got our first caller of the night, which should be the headline showmanship himself. Should be Mike Richter. How you doing, buddy, from Chick Swan Bovine?
All right, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. I think we met last year. First time I met you was up at that Shelby at the Hog Happening up there. When I introduced myself, I'm the kind of guy I try not to ever meet a stranger. And, you know, the only way I can meet people is if I pretty much go up and talk to them. And so far, everybody's been really nice and, you know, meeting new people and everything. That's what it's all about. It's about, you know, meeting new friends and hanging out and talking to you and, you know, just having a good time.
Well, that's what it's all about. I mean, I had a conversation with a barbecue buddy the other day that said, you know, when it stops being fun, it's time to quit.
Well, that's it. We do a few little get-togethers on either Thursday or Friday night for the people that show up early or whatever at most of these contests down here. We try to do a little potluck dinner, you know, try to get a few teams involved and stuff. Before you know it, you know, you got 15, 18 teams just hanging out, and everybody brings a side dish and their adult beverage and, you know, just kind of hang out and talk. Some people you have never seen before. Some old friends you hadn't seen in a while, and some, you know, and some friends that you kind of hang around. So it's a good reason to gather. And I know you had kind of a long trip from Maryland, and I know you got a free pass, so to speak, to come down to Sweet Relief. You don't usually come down very much, so I was kind of glad to see you again. So so what have you been up to? I know you hadn't competed a whole lot this year. And even though you're still right up there in the brisket race again, as always, but just want to find out a bit about what Mike's been up to.
Well, having some things we've been dealing with the family and stuff, but things are all looking good there now. Our youngest daughter, Michelle, was very ill, but final surgery, she's all good to go. She actually started back to college today, so things are looking good, but I had the opportunity to do quite a few caterings during the summer, and you know, it's money in the hand for sure, or go drive somewhere and, you know, hope you have a good cook that hit a good table that the judges like your food. So you know, it kept me closer to home. I mean, I burned up the highway last year. I mean, we did 33 weeks, 34 counting that extreme makeover thing out of Kansas. So there, you know, and I, goes to the point of what you were talking about on the Thursday and Saturday night. I'm pretty much do everything I can to get there on Thursday just so I can visit, meet new people, relax and have a good time and visit and, you know, have a few beverages. Hopefully not too many. I have got up on Friday morning where it's been rather challenging to get everything prepped because I'm doing it at the last minute. That, you know, I'd like to go there and show up and have it all done, but I'm never that organized to get it all together that way.
It's funny, no matter how many contests you do, it's funny how always something's kind of getting in your way a little bit. But like you said, you know, Thursday night is really a good time to just kind of meander and meet people and, you know, just kind of get to know some of your fellow neighbors and teams. Some people don't want to know, but, you know, for the most part, it's like one big family out there. And it doesn't matter what part of the country you come from, you know, or how good you are, how bad you are, whatever. You know, I very rarely see people not get along. And it's just great. I mean, that's
wonderful. So.
Yeah, it's part of the reason, well, most of the reason why we go out and do it. You know, if it was all dog eat dog and nobody gave a rat's butt about anything, then, you know, we probably wouldn't be doing as many as we do. But, you know, I know you travel pretty much all over the country for the most part, at least you did last year. And I know you were chasing points for brisket and Tuffy got you towards the end. But you know, it's just interesting to meet, you know, people from different areas. I don't get a chance too much with me running a full-time business and everything to venture too far out. Yeah, I stay within 3 to 5 hours of the house and, you know, and compete. But, you know, I've got friends from North Carolina that I see when I do North Carolina contests. Same way with South Carolina, same thing with Georgia. I mean, there's 3 or 4 states. I've got friends in each state, you know, that I'll see at certain contests and some I won't see. So, I mean, it's good to kind of mix it up a little bit, I believe.
It is, and you know, when I was working, you know, I traveled extensively and then got relocated to different states and was able to make friends, which works out to where sometimes they can come and help at contests and stuff. But being able to go and travel, you make new good barbecue friends all over. I mean, I've made so many friends down through the South. Even though I worked down there, I made friends that I worked with, but I didn't know the barbecue community then. meet people, and like I said, all of them are pretty friendly, and they just say, well, you know, just stay over here overnight or whatever, you know. And I've been able to take that opportunity at several friends' house and be able to pull in and, you know, fill up with water or whatever and just kind of relax instead of driving. I mean, I did several long Sundays, you know, 14, 16 hours getting home last year trying to get past D.C. before, you know, Monday once the traffic starts, you know, it just doesn't stop. It doesn't hardly stop on the weekends, but it's a lot better on Sunday night than it is on Monday anytime.
Yeah, I just can't, you know, this was only my second full year doing this, so it's really hard for me to fathom, you know, traveling that far to some of these contest stuff. And there's a reason why you do it, because you love doing it. And, you know, there's other reasons too. But like you said, I think the barbecue community kind of goes out of its way to make sure one of those, what I call a fellow brother, you know, to make their life easier. You know, it's like no matter if we go somewhere, we've got people say, hey, you know, if you don't want to go home tonight, you stay with us, or, you know, park your rig over here and stay there, you know, it's secured, and, you know, and it makes you feel better inside, you know, that people, even if you don't take them up on the offer, that they are offering, and they mean it sincerely. So, you know, it's a good thing. I mean, there's a lot of good people out there doing the barbecue, and, you know, I see more and more family out there doing it, too. It's not just your hard nose, you know, going to get points. You know, a lot of times you incorporate family and, you know, do it that way. And several family teams have won contests. So, I mean, it's not like it's, you know, that much different.
Yeah, there's always been husband and wives that have done it. But now you're seeing, with the growth of Kids Q, you're seeing more of the kids growing up and helping. You know, I know friends that go in and take a nap and let their son run the fire and stuff, to keep track of things for them. They build enough confidence in them that they can do that. You know, that's awesome, because then that's the next generation. You know, you got to pay it forward.
Well, that's what I look at. You look at a lot of these contests, have these kids' key things up there, and, you know, Mike Mills is big in stealing that, you know, because it's like any time, like hunting and fishing, you know. If you're going out, take a kid with you, go hunt and fish or whatever. Same thing with barbecue. And it doesn't have to be, you know, your own sibling. You can take a neighbor kid out and just show them the ropes, and after two or three times, you know, give them a little bit of responsibility, and I swear they'll eat it up, and, you know, they'll probably do a better job at watching things than what you would do, because, you know, sometimes you get sidetracked or, you know, just even just talking to somebody or whatever, and you're coming up to a critical point, you know. Those kids, they don't forget anything, so they're going to keep you right on line.
That's right, and there's a great, great quote that, you know, a man never stood so tall until he stooped and helped a child, you know, and that's it. And it doesn't have to be yours, you know, it could be a neighbor, and, you know, it might be somebody that just needs that attention, you know. Unfortunately, there's a lot of families out there that are single parents, whether it's male or female with kids, that, you know, sometimes we all know we could use a break from the kids, so if somebody can spend some time with them and help them out, you know, that's a wonderful thing.
Well, it keeps them off the, you know, off the PlayStations and all that. It gets them out into the real world. And not only that, it kind of gives them a new craft, because, you know, when you get out and they learn to cook barbecue, you know, before you know it, they're going to be cooking you dinner every night. You ain't got to worry about it. So there's another underlying factor there.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, I wanted to get back to what you were talking about on the Sunday nights. Most of the organizers have gotten really good about hooking the teams up. And, you know, so they can come in on Thursday night. It may or may not have power for you, but, you know, if the contest doesn't allow generators, they allow them on Thursday night, you know, and they do what they can do. There's a second-year contest we were talking a little bit about that I'm going to do this weekend up here in Maryland in Tracy's Landing. I think they're at 49 teams right now, and they've got room to, I don't know, hold 80 or so. They pulled their first one off in 4 months last year, and we thought it was pretty cool what they did. They had a whole year to prepare this year. It's a Saturday, Sunday, because it's the holiday weekend. which is unusual for the Mid-Atlantic. Most of our contests are Friday, Saturday. You get more up in the New England, you get the Saturday, Sunday and stuff.
Right.
They've got it hooked up. It's a Saturday, Sunday contest. We're going Thursday, just like it's a Friday, Saturday. They've got power for everybody, power and water. The local charter boat captains have gone together and are offering, discounts to go out and fish. And then they have, like, little competitions between the boats. And Thursday night, the organizers are going to have, it's like a small little get-together. Friday night, they're taking the teams, because this will only be a Thursday night if it's a Saturday, Sunday, but on Friday night, they're taking the teams by boat to a watering hole that's on a pier that goes out into the bay. And on the top level of the bar, they've got hors d'oeuvres and everything else. It's a cash bar, but still, they're taking on a nice little boat ride to get over there. And then you come back, and the comp day, starts the next day. You get your meat inspected and all the other. They've got a cook's dinner on Friday night, Saturday or Sunday morning. They've got breakfast for all the teams. I mean, they've really gone out of their way to try to make it nice for the teams. And that seems to be more and more common anymore, which makes it so much fun. Because there are a lot more teams coming in rigs where they can stay in. When I started, we looked like the Beverly Hillbillies showing up. We had to take two pickup trucks to haul all our crap.
Yeah. I know that feeling. I think everybody starts that way. It's not they need to go back and start that way, because then they'll be very much more gracious about what they have now as compared to what they started with.
I cooked Lakeland in the pickup truck this year. I cooked it in the pickup truck twice, and I cooked it in the little coach once and the big coach twice. And, oh, my God, I don't know what the hell I was thinking taking that pickup truck back then. You got to winterize. You got to de-winterize it, and you got to winterize it. And I may or may not do it again this year. I was fortunate that Rick Hamilton, Hand Boats by the Fire, took pity on me and said, "Come in here and lay on my couch." So at least I got a couple hours worth of rest besides trying to. Those hand gravity chairs are great, but it's just not good sleep. And it was raining too. It rained on us, so.
That didn't help the cause either.
No, I was trying to lay down on the ground because my back's not the best, and here comes the water. I'm like, man. I was debating whether or not to sleep underneath my tonneau cover at the back of my truck.
Well, at least you get back to the roots where you're at. So, at least you never forget where you come from. So, I've got a little 12-foot trailer a lot of times I'll take, and, I'll roll my pits out on the grass, put me a little canopy up there, and got a little window unit I installed. It's really a redneck little trailer, but I'll put my blow up mattress in and table in my Gambro, and I'm snug as a bug in a rug.
Worth 10 times whatever it costs.
Yeah, they are. And it's good. It's really no different than pulling a little long trailer, but this one being enclosed, actually, my wife sleeps better on that blow-up mattress in that little trailer than she does in the one that I got now. So what do you do, right?
Yeah, that's it. But it makes it nice. And you're seeing a lot more. There's so many different companies that make the trailers to where you can roll them out. They got a door in the back where you can keep everything in there. It's become a booming business. And, Rod Gray's got a great little setup in that little Pellet Envy trailer that he pulls. And I've toyed with the idea of, if those Jambos weren't so expensive, I'd like to get me a little trailer and do that.
You can get your little Southern Q smoker, TNT. I know you like the Jambos, but you can get your Gravity Fed smoker a lot cheaper. For what you pay for that Jambo, Scott from Southern Q Smoker can hook you up with a trailer with a TNT mount on the back with a little porch. And, probably about 14 feet inside and 8-foot porch on the outside, and you'll never have to worry about rain. So he does a really good job on those too, and he'll
he'll trick it out or leave it however you want to trick it out.
Yeah.
So,
my problem is I'm in love with that fire. It's like a joke. People come by and they see me sitting back there and they say, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm watching my favorite channel." You know, I don't. If Barbara's with me or the other folks, we end up turning the TV on. But I don't normally turn the TV on when I'm out and about. But being able to just sit there and relax by it. But then I sit and look at all my friends that are either cooking on, Backwoods or Gravity FE's, whatever, the different models to where, you set it and forget it.
Yeah, we talked about that up there in Greer.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I guess pushes me more towards being able to enjoy Thursday and Saturday nights with the teams is because everybody's having a good time on Friday night, and I'm in bed. Because once I get up to light my fire, I'm up.
Right.
I get up, 1 o'clock in the morning and, get my meat ready and stuff and start to get the fire going so that I can get my stuff together. But if I was cooking on, another style cooker, I could go ahead and put my meat on, cook it, I cook hot. I could cook it slow at a lower temperature, put it in there, and get up, stay up and visit with everybody, go to bed, 11 o'clock, get up at 5:30, 6 o'clock, put some ribs on and be happy and have all that rest.
That's my schedule.
Yeah, well, I tried doing it, when we first started, I was cooking, we got a 60 and an 84 Lang, which we still use. And, I was staying up all night with those, cooking low and slow. And I'm not that young anymore.
I don't think any of us are. I don't consider this an old man's sport, but like we said, it'd be good to get some more younger teams involved and, even if they're 21, 23-year-olds trying to do this. And, it's like everything else. If you go around and you talk to people, if you got problems, most of the teams kind of get you headed in the right direction, They're not going to tell you their stone-cold secrets, but they say, well, maybe you need to try this, try this. People are pretty helpful.
Yeah, I would say the overwhelming majority. And, I remember, you kind of, different people help you in different ways. Tuffy is one that will ask you a question to make you think about the answer. And, he may rephrase it a couple times. I've been fortunate to compete against him for a long time. And, he'd ask questions and, then you get you thinking. He's not going to come right out and lead you. I guess if you asked him a point blank question, he would. But, he'll get you thinking. One of my favorite times, we were, I think it was Salisbury, I believe, several years ago. We're up for some reason or another late on Friday night. I know I was cooking on the 84, and he said, "Come on, let's take a walk." And we walk along, and he says, "Take a deep breath." He says, "What do you smell?" I said, "I don't know, but it's nasty." He goes, "I don't think their food's going to be so good." And then,
that's what I say about pellet cookers.
That's right.
We walked along a little farther, and he goes, take a breath. And he goes, "What?" I said, "It just smells really good. We're talking about different flavors of smoke and all the other stuff." He goes, "That should be some good food." We went through, Salisbury is a large competition. And then it got me to the point to where
I was there quite a long time.
And I
know what I felt, sir.
People thought we were crazy.
Yeah, people thought, they won a lot. Yeah, well, they had the right sauce and crap,
But,
Roger, you're on the air.
Oh, man, I did not know that.
Go ahead and finish, Mike. Go ahead and finish.
We're walking around. We're walking around and sniffing. We're not, this is the meats are on. You're not, most of them just, what is the rub? wood come in stacks, or they're you know, with the pellets, they can, you know, they can put different flavors in there. But you know, there was a couple of them. I thought they might have been burning creosote. I mean, it was rough.
Well, some of my scores, you'd think that I was.
Man, we've all had those.
Yeah, we have. I'm not complaining too much because, you know, I was tanking a couple contests, but I've come back a little bit slowly, so hopefully I'm heading towards the right path. I tweaked a few things. I talked with David Buska from Butcher Barbecue, and he gave me a few little pointers, like what Tuffy did with you. He's not going to answer your question straight out, but he's going to make you ask the question, well, what are you doing different? What's this? What's that? What flavor are you trying to get? Do you know how to get there? You know, and all that type of stuff. And, you know, he lets you kind of figure it out yourself, and you're going to remember it better that way than if he just told you something right off the top of his head. So, yeah. And now Roger Wise, I don't know if you know that rascal, Mike, but...
Yeah, I know each other. Absolutely.
He's a good friend of mine, and we've talked a lot last year and stuff on cooks, and there's not a whole lot that Roger don't know that I do, and vice versa. So, you know, Roger Marshall been really good to me and Jan, and really good friends of ours. That's one of North Carolina teams that I try to stay away. I mean, stay near.
Hey,
Jan. Hey, Marsha, how you doing, honey?
I'm good.
So, you know, it's all about having a good time.
Why did you guys back out of Greer? I thought you guys were coming to Greer.
Well, I was looking at it, but I decided not to. I just didn't make sense. I'm not knocking Greer. I just had more I needed to do at home to come down there. Does that make sense?
Well, I guess it does, but, you know, you cook a pretty mean steak. You know, I could have probably eaten steak on Friday.
There you go.
I'd rather call it prime rib. I love cooking prime rib. I think it's one of my favorite things in the world to cook, other than barbecue, perhaps.
Well, I'm trying to think. Are you going to Salisbury?
Salisbury, North Carolina?
Yeah.
Absolutely. We'll be there. It's only 35, 40 minutes from my house. We will be at Tilly Harley-Davidson.
Yeah, well, maybe we should Thursday night or Saturday night have prime rib there.
Well, we can do that. We can absolutely do that.
Sounds good to me.
It's Marsh and I are always willing to get fat on prime rib, and whoever else wants to join us.
Yeah, I'll chip in.
Well, y'all, that's just wrong, because I'm going to be at my Sam's Club Regional that week, so I can't partake in this. So we can't discuss this any further. So.
Oh, Sam's Club. Okay, well, yeah, we'll be at Chesapeake in a couple of weeks for that regional stuff. So.
I was going to do Salisbury if I didn't make it to regionals, but I've got to go to regionals. So that's the same weekend. I talked to the guy there at Sweet Relief this weekend, and last year I had Lake Oconee, and they didn't have that this year. I said, good, I'll be able to go. And then this year they scheduled Sam's Club. It seems like down here in Georgia, Sam's Club always comes at the wrong damn time for a lot of us. To make some of these other competitions. But
for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You're talking about prime rum and jam, Jim? I was thinking about Jan's birthday. Yes, I have not forgotten.
Yeah, we're gonna try to make it down there Thursday night. We got to get her workers. The girl's supposed to come back. She's not coming back till next week. So she said, I'm going to have to work Friday. I said, nah, we'll get one of my workers down there that helps out a lot. We're going to try to get them down there and everything so we can come down there on Thursday night or early Friday morning.
Come down to Myrtle Beach this weekend, Mike.
I saw the entry to Myrtle Beach down at Greer.
You saw it down with you?
Well, we were going to go because they got that Smithfield Rib thing. And I don't know if you heard, we were talking about there's a contest. One, it's only a couple hours from the house.
Well, I understand that.
It's a Saturday-Sunday contest, but it's going to be we're getting there on Thursday and coming home on Monday because they've got activities going on for the teams and stuff. We're going charter fishing. They've got a party on Thursday night, and it's a Saturday-Sunday contest. They've got a party on Thursday night. They got a party on Friday night.
And when are you going to cook?
See, it feels like we need to go up there.
When are you going to cook, Mike?
We're going to Saturday morning. We get the meat inspected.
Myrtle Beach too.
Good luck.
Yeah, thank you. Hopefully I'm sober enough to cook by Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole idea is to wear you down so you won't know what you're doing.
Yeah,
that's right.
Or the confused a brisket for one heck of a big doggone king mackerel, I don't know which.
That's right. Well, get some rockfish. My buddy the crab and pear is over top of the rockfish and grills it. It's awesome.
Are they gonna have a fish fry up there with all the fish y'all catch, or what's gonna happen with those?
I'm guessing because they've got that on Friday night, they've got that party on top of that bar out in the bay, so they'll have hors d'oeuvres and stuff there. So most of the teams will probably get it played out or however they want it, and probably vacuum pack it, take it home, freeze the water, eat it later, or we might eat some. I've got a buddy that's bringing a bushel of crabs.
Damn it, man.
This dude is cruel. He is cruel. I mean, just cruel.
He's just rubbing it in our face is what he's doing. It's just like.
There's only one other food I know that I like better than barbecue, and that's seafood. Any style, any way it's cooked, however you want to present it. I love seafood.
I do too. My doctor doesn't love me eating it, but I love it.
What did your doctor know, right?
That's what I'm trying to convince myself.
There's other teams listening that is planning on making Myrtle Beach. I'd love to hear who they are. I know in talking with them just as early as today, we still need some more teams down there. I'd love to see them come. So if anybody else is listening out there that can make this event, it's a great time. If you love beach music, it's the ideal place. And as I posted on Facebook and some other venues, it's always a good excuse to take your family to the beach. So I'd love to hear from some other teams that's coming, especially some of the SBN guys.
Yeah, it's a really good venue. I mean, they've got a huge field out there, and there's a lot of people that come out there, and you can talk to your blue in the face if you want to, or you can run and hide or whatever. But we all had a really good time down there last year. I know, Midnight Burn and us and you and a few other teams. I mean, we kind of got together and had a really good time, and that's what we're kind of looking for this year. There's some events you really don't want to miss, and Myrtle Beach has got a really nice setting down there and everything. So,
and they got extra money here for the Smithfield Rib Challenge too.
Yeah, that's true. That's another reason I'm going there. I've got a free entry from last year for winning Greer, so that gave me a little perk. And then I have to go defend my honor against Roger and all these other yahoos.
You won both contests last year. Don't hand me that garbage.
Do they have a People's Choice there, Rogers? You better watch out. Jim's got the.
Oh, no. No, I cleaned the clock on People's Choice. No. I won anything but last year. But no, People's Choice, I don't put any stock in that part because the local team's always going to win. We did win anything but another cool $1,000. We did win the chicken wing contest had on Sunday. That was another awesome $1,000. Which combined our record for on-site judging of chicken wings, we're 100% win on that. Now, I'm not talking about one contest, so yeah, I'm bragging. So anybody else out there is worth a crap of cooking chicken wings, get your bus down to Myrtle Beach and let's go heads up.
You're talking about doing a wing contest at Greer.
Well, I don't know about down in Greer. I'm afraid in Greer they can make take them in Greenville and sell them.
One thing about Taste of Choice up there in Greer was it was a totally blind judging, and it was going to help the event, so that's the only reason why I did it. And we don't ever do good now. We just cook the barbecue and, send it in. I sent it in with extra sauce on it, and we won. So I'm like, one and done.
Well, it did.
The one thing I love about the Myrtle Beach contest is they have more money in the ancillaries than they did the contest.
Isn't that sad?
It tickles me to death. I love it.
I mean, some of these contests, you're wondering the reasoning about it. You know, but that cookout you're going through this weekend, Mike, man, you know, if I'm within 6-7 hours of that place, it'd be hard for me to turn that one down just because of, you know, not only the venue, but what they do for the cooks and everything. I mean, that just sounds awesome. I mean, other contests could take notes, not maybe that drastic, but, you know, if you want some good teams there and some quality teams there, you know, go out of your way to make them, you know, a little more comfortable. And, you know, because that's what brings the crowds in, though, the barbecue teams. And some of these contests, we feel like we're second-class citizens. I mean, we don't need to be pampered or anything, but, you know, it is nice to be kind of welcomed, you know, and feel welcome at some of these events.
Yeah, we did one last year that our awning was over top of the awning next door to us because the spaces were so tight. I mean, it was crazy. And then, of course, it rained and the water's coming down off my awning, collapsed their awning on top of the guy's father-in-law who had had maybe...
Well, we'll get one
whatever. Too many. And that water came right down on him, and he went, wow, and went right back to sleep.
So, yeah, it's, you know, the two biggest things we need is water and power, you know, ample power.
Yes.
And then, you know, it is nice to have a little space between your neighbors now. Some of us, you know, have a good friends like us, Midnight Burn and Curly Tails and Picking Porkers and, you know, even willing to throw Rob Marion in there. You know, we don't need a whole lot of room. You know, if we're fine, you know, well, out there in the Greenwood, me and Roger, my tailgate was down. His, you know, awning was right there. I mean, we're almost awning the awning right there. But, you know, we don't hide anything from each other. And, you know, we enjoy seeing one another. You know, we can BS back and forth across the way. You know, the Curtain Tails were side by side up there. And Midnight Burn was sitting right off our back deck. You know, it was good just to have conversation every time you went out the trailer. So.
Yeah, it's not bad being close. It's just tough if, you know, trying to stick my, you know, everybody's got to like their stuff in a certain place, you know.
Right.
I like my cooker where I like my pit, and, you know, some of these contests I have to stick it out the front underneath the awning because, you know, with the awning and the slide out, we're pretty much 20 feet, so that takes up space. I like it a lot better when they're 25 foot wide.
Yeah, and you know, and it depends on who you buy too, because you know, most of us, we don't need our full space. We'll slide over and give you the more space that you need, because you know, it's just you know, courtesy.
Yeah, the teams, you know, aren't the problem. I've never had a problem with the team next to me saying, "Hey, you're over the line." Never ever.
Right. Right.
But you can get some organizers saying, no, that's not going to work. You can't do that. But they don't mind. No, you can't do that. I'm like, give me a break.
I've seen more organizers get bent up over that shape than teams. I would hardly call somebody down on that situation, unless it really impeded my traffic flow of me and Marcia. But, gosh, I could imagine calling somebody down just because I'm a space hoarder.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, that shouldn't be an organizer's call. That should be a team call. You know, if he's like, you know, I'm not using it anyway, and he needs it, he can use it. It's just like anything else. I mean, you know, if you need a rub or a sauce or something, and there's several teams that use a lot of the same stuff, and you've got it, you're going to lend it to them, you know?
I've had people come in and offer to buy 5 feet of space from me. Really? Honestly, offer money. I said, dude, come on, man. That's not necessary. You know, just give me the room I need. We'll work it out. You can just take what you need.
Right.
Well, you know, I lent somebody a pit probe, and they often did buy me a new one for using it one time. I don't know who that was.
But I mean, but there are people out there that, you know, they don't want to infringe on anyone. I mean, it goes back to what the whole thing we've been talking about. Barbecue people are tops, you know?
Yeah. I agree.
There's that handful out there like anything else, but in the barbecue community, it's a minority, big time, compared to anything else out there that I've ever been involved with. There's only
look at the way we cook. We have to cook.
I'm sorry. There must be a delay or something. I don't know when to chime in.
it's like with the barbecue cookers, that we go through so much other adversity too, you know, so these little matters don't mean nothing, you know. We've got other issues that are more important, you know, dealing with the weather and all that. I mean, you know, we're out in it. You got all these other cook-offs and all this other stuff, you know, they can go inside or, you know, they don't need as big as air because they're not cooking what we're cooking. You know, they're cooking one item or whatever. But, you know, with barbecue, you know, it's four items minimum. And, you know, and the rigs that we use are big. And, you know, we're out in the weather 24/7 when we're out there cooking. So, you know, we go through so much adversity, so these little piddly things just don't bother us, where some other people say, no, that's mine, you're not using it. And, I mean, I just don't get where an organizer can come up and tell you what you can and can't do as long as you're not, the other team is okay with it.
Hey, Jim.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like for you to be close enough to where if the guru goes off, you can bang on the side of the motorhome.
Well, it wasn't rocking, and I could hear Roger snoring, so, you know.
You know, it's wrench on our space. As long as you're close enough to hear the guru go off, then I'm good.
Well, when I hear that beeping, it's okay to come into your space, right?
Exactly.
Well, you know, I've Waylon and Chris from Ultimate Tailgaters, they have saved me several times like that because they'll hear it beeping. Sometimes I can't hear it, the air going on in my trailer, and they'll knock on the door. I think Waylon had to do it like three or four times one night, and he's like, you want me to just run your pit? I said, yeah, let me get some sleep, damn it, you know?
Sleep
so,
is
you know, but, you know, I'm going to do that for somebody else. I mean, that's just the kind of person I am. I don't want to see anybody's meat burn up. I know what that feels like, right, Roger? But,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, just thinking at Myrtle Beach,
you know,
okay.
That's my retreads from last year in Myrtle Beach.
Well, see, that's what I told you. Well, we're going to try to get close enough to you this year. Well, that won't happen. So, you know, I have Tony with me and Jan. So, try to get out and start your fire and everything for you and, you know, get it rolling. And
we need all the edge we can get.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just goes back to people helping people, you know.
Yeah.
I heard beeping.
Right.
I mean, I only let it beep for like 30 minutes and I had to go tell y'all. So, you know. I just couldn't take it anymore.
Well, we'll pay you back one of these days.
Well, see, it was my probe in there, so I had to watch out for it, you know? But no, I mean, it just goes back to, you know, barbecue people are the best. I mean, I'm a newbie to this, but I see all these good deeds going around and, you know, people helping other people out, and it's, you know, it's really impressed me that how people will do that for other people. You know, you're competing against them and everything. You know, like I said, 98% of the teams out there are as good as gold, and you're always going to have one in every crowd, so to speak, is what thing says. But, you know, you go to these events, and I know, you know, y'all are friends of Qology, and other, you know, you get to see different teams at some of these different events you go to, and it's good to see them, you know?
It's very good to see everybody. That's the second reason why we do it. Is because you love to be around the people. And I haven't seen Mike lately, but we haven't cooked with Mike in a while.
Yeah, it was the regional last year.
Yeah, kidney stone attack.
Yes.
For Roger, but hopefully that won't happen again this year. But we just haven't seen you in a while. And we love seeing our barbecue family. We do. That's our social life. And all the teams they help each other, but they love getting together. They really do. I think all of them do.
Well, I got a trip for you need to look at. I'm telling
what?
You. What? I've become addicted to it. We call it the fall swing. You go down and you cook Pensacola one weekend, cook Mobile the next weekend. And, I did a class last year on the weekend in between, right, going up and cooked Tunica, and then you cooked ham in Louisiana, and then you cooked Slidell, Louisiana, all back the week, and then you come back north and it's all nice weather.
Sounds wonderful. I just don't know if I can get off work that long.
Well, they got airplanes.
Yeah, they cost a lot of money.
Yeah, right.
Well, so all those ancillary categories, Roger can buy you some flights.
That's right.
Well, let's see what we do in Myrtle Beach this weekend. Maybe that'll be possible.
Well, you ain't going to win that much at Myrtle Beach, I can tell you that.
Well,
I walked out there last year vending more than you won.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
I probably had to cook more food.
In between Hammond and Slidell, there's a state park right on Lake Pontchartrain. And there were judges that stayed there. And there was probably 8 teams that stayed there between. And it's just, I mean, you're not... It's like a Thursday and a Saturday night because you're not talking barbecue. You're just catching up with what's going on with people's kids and, you know, what's going on in their lives and everything. And you just sit around and take turns cooking dinner and, you know, you pile in a car and you run over to Restaurant Depot to get some meats for Slidell and maybe get a beignet or a tasty beverage while you're down in the wonderful New Orleans area. It makes fun. Maybe you can...
I've not made that Southern tour in a couple of years. In 2010, Lee's on down to buttrub.com and cooked with Byron in his open house, and then we did a couple of contests down that way and then made a little swing back up towards North Carolina. Well, that's one of my favorite places in the world to go to, down in what I'm going to call deeper south, for lack of better phrases, and cooking Mobile and Slidell and this, that, and the other. So I want to do it again. So you talking about all that just makes me jealous. I'm ready to do it again.
I mean, back to what Jim was talking about, the organizers of all those contests do whatever they can do to help you. Now, Ivan was a little strapped because he's on city streets, and even though the city's got power there for the teams, I mean, you know, 30-amp, 50-amp, you know, 110, whatever you need, they won't let him, because it's in a very busy part, touristy part of town, they won't let him shut the streets down on Thursday. So they can't shut the streets down until like 1 o'clock in the morning, once the bars start let down. So that's the only drawback there. You can stay Saturday. They let them keep them closed for Saturday night, but that's the only drawback there. But it's just wonderful, one, to get down there. I opened a prison there in Pensacola, so I've got a lot of friends there. And then,
what, in prison?
Yeah. But a lot of them are getting to retire now, so that's a good thing.
Okay.
It was on the other side of the fence, from what I remember by themselves. But that was too reminiscent of Washington, D.C. I love the cook-off there. The money's great. The venue is great, but man, the load in and load out times are just demanding on all teams.
I don't want to toss something, but the load in, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we had good success there. You know, one year, Rod won chicken and ribs, we won pork and brisket, and Tuffy won the contest with like 4 third place balls or something like that, you know. But, getting in, and we cooked it 2 years in a row, and we had success, and we haven't cooked it the last 2 years just because, you know, it's close for us. It's an automatic, you know, for the Jack. It's rather expensive. They do have a nice purse, but it's the challenge of getting in and out, and it can be really, really hot on that asphalt down there because there's, like, the buildings aren't letting much of a breeze in. And, you know, they do it very unique because they used to have the Memphis contest on Sunday, and now it's just, you know, the last couple of years it's just been KCBS, and you turn 2 meets in, and you turn the small meets in. No, let me take that back. You turn brisket and chicken on Saturday, and your butts and your ribs on Sunday. So you can't even really, if you're a with stick burner, you can't get the sleep that you like. They did the big meats first, and then the small meats, or vice versa. It would be more appealing to me.
Where else do you compete at, Mike? I know you do your Southern Swing, but do you kind of stay up around Maryland, Virginia, and Pennsylvania, that area, or do you head to American Royal, or where all do you go?
We're going back to the Royal this year. I mean, my wife still works, so it's tough. She only gets so much vacation, and God love her, she takes it for Thursdays and Fridays to go to a barbecue with me. We take like...
Work with who?
Say again, Roger?
Works with who?
She still works.
Oh, I thought you said she worked with Tuffy. I was going to say, what? That explains your success.
Yeah, I wish. I like to send her down there with her for a while. Ohio, West Virginia, Virginia, North Carolina, South. Well, we just did our first contest in South Carolina. Georgia, I really like Alabama. I do two contests there, Mobile in March, and then Christmas on the River in Demopolis on in December, which if you talk about seafood, they do a catfish fry down there that's pretty darn good.
Because I understand if you don't have your application in by now about Demopolis, forget it. You're not going to get in.
It took me 2 years to get in there. And, yeah, if you lose your spot, you're back at the back of the line again.
Well, that's understandable, but you know, we follow the contest to have those good purses. And I don't know about Demopolis. I may have a great purse, but in reality, it's just too far for us. We try to stay close to home. That business is picking up, so we're cutting back more than I really want to. You know, yeah, it's unfortunate. Work gets in the way of your desires and your wants.
It did. I'm blessed that I was able to retire. And, you know, at an early enough age that I can still drive somewhere. And it works out really well. And I've got a loving wife that lets me go do my addiction. And she goes when she can, and which is a lot. But, you know, it's like the trip to the Royal. You know, that's we'll leave here on Tuesday to get out there. And then, you know, I'll hammer at home so she can go back to work on the following Tuesday. And that's a little tough. But then, you know, just a couple of weeks after that, we'll be heading to Lynchburg. So, you know, that's taking more time to, you know, the Tennessee trip. Because when you want to get down there, once again, for Thursday so we can visit with everybody.
We've looked at the Royal many, many times and qualified a couple times, but I just look at that as being extra special for the Midwestern teams. I'm just an old Southeastern United States barbecue guy. To me, there's nothing other than Lexington-style barbecue or North Carolina barbecue, and I love to make people mad whenever I say stuff like that. And so that's why I have a hard time going out there and competing because those folks have an entirely different idea about barbecue than us. And one time I competed out there in the Great American Barbecue, they didn't think too much of North Carolina-style flavors. So I just love to poke. It's like poking a hornet's nest. I just love to really get people energized and get them talking about which barbecue is the best. But in reality, my heart's in North Carolina and or South Carolina for that fact. This style of barbecue, and that's why I just don't go out there and compete too much, because to me, this is barbecue down here in the southeastern United States.
I mean, everybody's got their preference, but I'll tell you right up front, I don't change my flavors if I'm cooking in Florida, Pennsylvania, Ohio, or Kansas City, or in Tennessee. I don't change my flavors. And the Royal is the Royal. I mean, it is such a unique experience. I would encourage everybody to go out. The Invitational one, it's champions from all over, and if you get to hear your name, it's pretty awesome. And then the Open, now that's a crazy thing. I mean, there's 500 teams in that thing, and it's a large crapshoot. But decent flavors are still going to went out. It's just hitting a table with, you know, if there's 500 teams, you know, that's crazy. I mean, it's just crazy. And one, to talk about purses, the, you know, that GC out there gets $25,000 at the Royal. You know, I forgot it, but I've, you know, Tuffy talks about barbecue experiences, that would be, to win that would be so special. I mean, I put it up there with, you know, winning the Jack or winning Memphis in May. Those are like the big three as far as I'm concerned, to go out there and try and do well. And take your flavors with you to do it. You know, it's still going to come down, does the meat taste like the meat it's supposed to? Is it chicken, or does it taste like beef, you know? It's supposed to taste like chicken. It's supposed to taste like pork. You know, is it moist? Is it juicy? Is it flavorful? You know, does it have a bark on it? I know they say not so much about smoke ring, but you know, that's one of the things I like about that Jambo. I get a very nice smoke ring on it, and it's not enhanced. It's the meat and the fire. So, but just to go out there, and it's an expensive trip to go to the Royal, but I would encourage anybody that gets the chance to go at least once and get the experience. Take a walk on the dark side out there and see the parties that they've got going on. It's amazing. Now, because of things that we've been doing, I was really late getting our application in for this year. And I know I talked to them, we're not in the B lot, so I have no idea where we're going to be. We could be next to one of those big parties. Lord, I hope not. But, you know, it is what it is. The you know, there everybody was fussing, Jim, about the walk at Greer, which... Well, it's a healthy walk. It's the longest walk I've had outside of the Royal probably in a couple of years. But my buddy Chris Zone that goes with us is, you know, 6'4", 6'5", and he's got a stride to him, and it was like a seven plus minute walk for him.
Yeah, that's a pretty good walk.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Vineyard Greer is just set up a little bit, you know, if they had a judging tent out there in that fair parking lot, you know, where the reps were staying, that'd be one thing.
Right.
You know, but you have to walk across. I mean, I actually had a train coming by at turn-in time, which they said they'd hold it for 2 minutes. Well, what does that do for the people that already turned their food in? You know, they got to wait another 2 minutes for the other teams.
Yeah,
but
see,
luckily, I don't think it ever messed with anybody. I think the train came by a little earlier and got out of there before everybody, you know, started going up there. But
you've got to think about, Jim, because if your food's in and here comes the train, now all these other people are still on the other side of the tracks, and then there comes in, yours is now cold or what, vice versa. Of course, if there's weight, that's probably cold too. But
exactly.
But now they're, I mean, that window, I don't know how reps could legally accept that box, and that would be horrible for a team that's leaving with plenty of time to get turned in and get stopped by one of those freight trains going by.
Right.
That, I mean, that would just, you know, say for instance, you know, Smokehouse Market. What if they could not have got one of their meats in, or we not got one of our meats in because of a train? You know, that it would have cost them the GC had they not been able to get a meat turned in.
Yeah. Well, you know, Caroline came by and it kind of, I don't know how they could legally do it with KCBS, but Caroline came by and said if the train impedes, you know, at a certain time, you know, impedes us to get across those tracks, then I guess they would hold it for 2 more minutes or 2 minutes after the train left or whatever. I don't know, but like I said, luckily, in my opinion, I think the train was already through there. Because I think I heard it going by when we were plating a box. And so I don't think anybody had any issues with that. But, you know, I agree. If the train had come through there right in the middle of turn-in, say, at, you know, say 12 o'clock for chicken, and it took it, you know, 3 or 4 minutes to go through, you know, you're standing there waiting for the train to go by. And, you know, you're standing on the other side of the tracks. You know?
I sent food early, worried about that train.
Yeah.
Once again, if they would have changed the turn-in times, I think that would have caused all kinds of problems for the reps, because somebody would have got on the forum and somebody would have called KCBS, and they would have. I can't imagine them saying, "Well, that's okay."
Right.
I don't see him doing that. And that would be horrible. God, I'd hate it if it happened to me. I'd hate it if it happened to anybody. You put all that work in, and now you're stuck. You can't get your product in.
Yeah, you have a glitch. But see, that's why we were wondering, why don't you put a tent over there in the parking lot, right across the street from where we're all at. And you don't have to worry about any trains. We're all sandwiched in between the train tracks. And, you're going to have the awards out on the asphalt in the middle of the sun. With the band playing, just put in a tent. If you want to separate from the event, we understand that, but just get a tent for the judges to stay in. And, that's where we turn our food in. Then we can have our own little awards there. And the people from that's about the only contest I've ever been to that the organizers don't want us to be any part of the festival. Does that make sense?
Now, it was kind of unusual. And I mean, I don't want to sound like we're jumping on. I mean, it was our second year. My first time down there, there were a couple things that I think could be improved, without a doubt. We're talking about the train. We're talking about the awards. I mean, they could have held the band for 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
But it took them 20 minutes maybe from start to finish on the awards.
Right. The band, it wouldn't have been that long because they were moving pretty quick. I mean, paparazzi, the way they had it set up where one guy took a picture, then you had to turn to go to this other place to go do a picture. That was kind of unusual, too. But
it sounded like they were taking 30 pictures of you, when you went out there to get an award. And, but, it shows a little consideration for the cook teams because that's what the public's there for. Yeah, you got a lot of cook teams that are vending up there, and that's what's serving the public and stuff. But, they had the car show. Well, the only reason why the car show's there is because the barbecuers were there. We still saw a good many people walking through, checking out the rigs and stuff like that. That's what it's all about. But I understand they're putting us out over there, which is fine. But, whilst you put the judging over there, too, it'd be shorter turn-in times. You can do awards over there. If you don't want us up on the stage for some reason, I don't know why you can't put aside 30 minutes, for the stage. Because most of the time during Saturday, they have, people that win karaoke contests and all this other stuff up there.
Right.
So hold up for 30 minutes, show a little consideration to the cook teams. And, for coming up there and doing that and supporting your cause and everything, I mean, we don't ask for much.
Yeah, well, the car awards for the car show, we were sitting out afterwards. They had some beautiful cars there.
They had some awesome cars.
Yeah, we were sitting there having some tasty beverages afterwards. And you could see they were doing the awards for the car show right around where the cars were. The only problem I see with moving the turn into the parking lot, I know she talks about she wants to put the pop-up teams down there because she wants to expand. And I'm able to. The vendors would still have space with the trains, the vendors that compete. And I know there were vendors that were competing. So then they would be dealing with the trains. So one way or the other, somebody's going to have to deal with the trains. But for the majority of the teams, it would be definitely better if they did it there. I was a little surprised. I've only been to one other contest to where the band was still playing, but that was in Annapolis, Maryland. But they had a separate pavilion and a microphone to call out awards. So, and the other band was in an amphitheater. So, it really, even though they were playing, it wasn't really impacting the awards.
Right. We've got another caller that wanted to speak, a 985-969. Hello.
Hello. Excuse my voice. I lost it, Jim.
That's all right. Who's this?
Who'd you want me to call? Who'd you want to call earlier today?
Who'd I want to call?
Told me I always had down to BS.
That's right. That's right.
And David Morrow of the Blue Bloods from Louisiana.
Hey, man. How you doing? So how's the hurricane coming in?
Oh, these people are crazy. We ain't got no gas. We ain't got no batteries. We ain't got no bread.
They gone nuts, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I bet your wife's got parsley.
Yeah, she does have parsley now because she has a parsley addiction. Hopefully after we get a bunch of hurricane overtime, I can get her some help.
Oh, man, she's got the best parsley.
Yeah. Rest of them in the box might not be pretty, but you'll have a pretty parsley in there.
Yeah, I think Andrew from up there at Smokehouse Mafia, I think she did his boxes in Cleveland, Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, she showed him how to do a little flip and all that on there.
Are you guys coming to Salisbury, North Carolina?
No, that's a little bit too far from me.
Yeah, say what?
That's for some parsley.
No, that's
longer. Yeah, it's a little bit too far, unfortunately. That's the only bad thing about being down here in Louisiana. As much as, unfortunately, y'all have come to know that I love to barbecue, everywhere is at least a 600-mile trek one way from me now. I mean, now Mississippi's getting a little better because they got a bunch more cook-offs they're getting. But, I mean, that's still 350, 500 miles.
Well, you get a few in the beginning of the year with the Louisiana ones, you know, and the Pensacola and Mobile and all those. Those aren't as far, but, you know, like I said, those are earlier in the year, though.
Yeah, those are earlier in the year and stuff, but we get a few there and stuff, of course.
Fuel money this year.
Do what?
You want fuel money this year.
We got lucky this year a little bit. We got a couple dollars.
I want to congratulate you. If I'm not mistaken, you just won your first grand, didn't you, in the pro division?
Yeah, actually we did. It's Stand By You Grill in Fulton this past weekend. That was pretty sweet because we actually last year changed, and that was our first pro contest last year from when we cooked in the Mountain High Festival up there in Franklin. And I thought that was the best thing since sliced bread. I got that little 7-place brisket call last year and that little certificate, and you thought I won $1 million. So to get grand this time, get our first grand, and it was there where we started, that was nice. It was really nice.
There's always something special about your first grand, but even like a double special, like what you said, you know, that being the first pro contest you did, it just makes it even more special to win it there.
No, it does. It does. So now I know what all you grand champions feel like. Because I tell you what, that was a, you know, and most of y'all know what I do for a living as a police officer. I don't get that nervous or that worked up anymore, but I'm going to tell you, that one got me down almost on my knees a little bit. That one dropped me a little.
That's why everybody knows first grand, because that just shows that, you know, you work so hard to do it, and to finally get there, it's kind of like a relief, but it's also like just, you know, oh, my God, it finally happened, you know. I mean, it's just euphoria, so to speak.
People, it is.
I mean, if you do it, I mean, you know, there's people out there, you know, who've won several grands, and they still do it. And that's what it's all about, is not taking any of this for granted, because, like Roger said, you know, you can be on that wave, and it's going to crash. You might as well ride as long as you can.
Amen. I mean, we rode a heck of a wave last year, and even though we had success, I want to tell you, you start hearing your name and you're thinking, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, we got a chance, we got a chance, we got a chance. And if it's not getting you excited and it's just like, oh, well, man, you need to do something else.
Yeah, it's like, honey, if you don't get buck fever, you need to do something else, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. If you lose that, people don't realize what happens when you're at the awards. Your heart starts racing a little bit, even though you're trying to calm yourself down, like, oh, I did this. You're telling yourself, but down deep, everybody's heart's just racing at these awards because nobody knows.
Like I said, a year ago, I can remember when all I wanted to hear is my name one time called. Didn't care if it was 10th place. Didn't care if you did or didn't get anything. You just wanted to hear your name. And then as it goes on, unfortunately, it gets more addictive and it gets worse. Then you want to hear your name, but you don't want to hear it too soon. And if you hear it too soon, you're upset because you didn't do it. You know, because, I mean, I know, like, in Cleveland, you know, Tennessee, when we cooked there, you know, there were 68 teams, I believe. We come in 12, got 2 ninth-place calls. I remember at one point in time, less than a year ago, I would have been so happy I didn't know what to do with myself. But instead, I got my wife saying, you didn't do good enough. We didn't get enough points now. So
it depends on how many teams you got, too. We were at a contest with 132 teams, and we had two ninths and a tenth, and I want to say a fourth or a fifth, and it was good enough, you know. And that, I mean, that's pretty amazing. You get, you like, you don't want to hear it early enough, but it depends on how many teams, you know. If you can get four calls in a big contest, it don't matter how down the hill they are if you're getting four. But you know,
oh yeah,
Jim, we've been talking about how, you know, the way the barbecue community is. Last year, we were able to, I want to say three times, I know two, I wanted to say three times, where friends of ours that we've known for, you know, I've been doing this a while, got their first grand. You know, Lexington, Bob, you know, two of them got his first grand there. And
he's a good friend of both of ours. That's the sweetest company you'll ever meet on the tour.
And
I tell you what, I'll tell anybody, and that's what I told him in Tryon and everywhere. I am where I'm at because of Bobby Roberts and Belinda Roberts. They took me in like family last year at the beginning of the year when we was in Pensacola in the backyard. And, you know, my success is because of him. He's like a stepmom and daddy to me, him and Miss Belinda. We love him to death. You know, there's nothing I wouldn't do for him. You know, and if we don't talk to him at least two or three times during the week, Miss Belinda or Celeste ask us what's wrong with either one of us. You know, so they've been a blessing to me, and like I said, we love them to death. And, you know, for me in the year's time to be where I'm at, to have gotten what I've gotten is just, you know, I'm not going to say cocky by no means. I am just really blessed to have the success in the year's time that we've had. It's just amazing, and hopefully to keep on.
Yeah, but the joy on their face, and if you happen to be in Lexington last year, most of the people, you know a lot of the teams, and we're lucky enough that we go down and compete towards the South, and we've made a lot of them. You know, it's time to go get your score sheets. Well, this was their first grand. The judges are over, the reps are over there, and there's only like one or two teams getting their score sheets because everybody's standing there clapping because they're so happy.
You know about Lexington, North Carolina?
Yeah,
I was one of those teams that had tears in my eyes. I was glad to see them team win. Now I'm sick of it. I'm going to go beat him over the head the next time.
Well, we had the same Cumberland, Maryland.
And David.
Their first grand. And Elva and Bruce, they're wonderful people. And Elva, she must have cried for 45 minutes. I mean, everybody was standing, cheering, you know, and Bruce is dancing, and it was, you know, it made, I don't want to say everybody, but the overwhelming majority of us that were there were thrilled to death, you know.
That's great. I've never seen anybody care and dedicate so much. These teams can cook all the cooking classes they want, but I never saw such a student of barbecue as this fellow here that would ask questions and talk, and not in a this condescending way, but just ask questions, trying to get everybody's opinions. Then something came alive. David, you know what it is, and you're not going to tell. Enjoy the ride while I can. Looking back at our success in port, unfortunately, it's only one category, but gosh, enjoy that ride while you can. But the only reason I'm saying all this is don't stop looking ahead. Don't stop looking ahead. Marcia and I are trying to judge more this year because of what I just said. What used to be good is no longer good. It's going to fall out from underneath you just like a ride at a fair, that little tilt-a-whirl, whatever. You used to go there in circles, and then all of a sudden the bottom falls out. But you stay where you're at for a while, but when it slows down, you're back down the ground.
To run in cycles, just like what you're saying, you know, it's hills and peaks and valleys, you know. There are those exceptions, you know. Of course, Tuppy comes to mind, you know. He right on rolling, and well, I'm sure it goes and everything else, but, you know, we were a pretty good chicken team for 3 years in a row. We were top 25, and I got news for you, man. We've got a couple calls the last couple weeks, but we couldn't buy a call this year. and chicken.
I was 6th in the nation and 13th in the nation in 2009 and 2010 in pork. I came by top 10 now with the same stinking recipe. Same method, same everything, and nothing's changed. And that's why I've decided, okay, I'm going to reevaluate the psychological side of all this. This makes no sense. What is good is good is good. Unfortunately, when I say that, and I look at the scores, something's not right. So I'm thinking judges are getting tired of the same old garbage that we turn in.
Well,
I ran my mouth too many times and told people and let people taste my stuff, and they got an idea what I was doing. Not that everybody was duplicating Roger Wise and the Pickin' Porkers, but you understand what I'm talking about. I think there's so many similarities came into the judge or in the place that judges, honestly, dear God, cannot tell the difference between yours, mine, Jim's, or anybody else's.
I think there is a lot of that going on. excuse me. I think it's a combination of things. I think you've got, and I'm guilty. I take all kinds of classes. I may or may not use what I learn, but knowledge is a good thing. I mean, Barbara's the one that pushed me to start taking classes, and that was the best. I wish I'd have done it years before I started. But there are so many classes out there now, and people are. I mean, it's an expensive addiction that we've got. So you want to do. You want to do as good as you can, and you want to produce. You hope to hear your name, but the other side of the coin. I had a long conversation the last two comps about this with some people. There are so many judging classes now, and you're getting a lot of first-time judges, or that people are saying, "Well, no, it's that master judge that's still wanting to get that piece of pork or a piece of chicken or." Beef or whatever that they got 10 years ago, so now everything's a 7 until they get that. You know, it's crazy. I posted something on Facebook. We had 3 top 5 calls a couple weeks ago, and my very first DAL, and the same pork got 3rd in Greer. And, you know, the same pork won a couple of you know, 3 or 4 times earlier in the year. And for the life of me, I mean, it really messed with my head because we didn't have a very good score in Bel Air the week before. And then to get that, and I'll give a shout-out to some fantastic North Carolina reps, Don and Debbie Harwell. And in my opinion, they are tops because I got the score sheet. I walked back. You know, we got people congratulating us thinking that we got a reserve. Mark Breen had won. He got first in ribs, pork, and brisket, so it was pretty obvious that he was going to be the GC. But I sat down and I looked through the score sheets and, you know, where all our friends were, and I see that we're DAL, and I look up, and there's Don standing there. And Debbie, because she wasn't there for the beginning of the awards, she had rekeyed everything 3 times to check to make sure. Because, you know, we had good calls and trying to figure out. And Don said, would you like to check your box? Now, I've never heard of a rep asking a team if they wanted to check their box. I've seen teams go up and ask to check their box to make sure there was. I mean, because people are human. Mistakes are made. And, you know, me being, you know, I'm pretty naive at times. I said, well, did you check it? Was it right? Don says, Mike, I'm not going to check that number until you're standing right next to me. Because I don't want, you know, you to think that, you know, something's going on. And up there, and, you know, he pulled my box out, you know, showed it to us. We went to peel the sticker off. Well, you couldn't get the sticker hardly off, so we went to the other side, and it peeled off. Sure enough, it was my number. And God love Don. He said, I'm sorry, Mike. I was kind of hoping it was a mistake. You know, I mean, because it's just, it rocked my world. But for them to go take those extra steps to make sure, and I know they've done it for other things, to make sure that what they're doing is, you know, I'm so proud to know that there are people out there repping contests that will take that extra step. So I'll get off my soapbox saying how wonderful they are. But they're from North Carolina, so I know, you know, that some people think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I can't argue about North Carolina people. They've been pretty good to me, too.
They're good people. Good people. No doubt about that whatsoever.
We're all kind of praying for you to make it through this little thing y'all fixed to go through down in Louisiana. I hope it doesn't do a whole lot of damage down there.
Yeah.
It'll be all right. That's one thing about Louisianans. We're tried and true when it comes to that. We'll pick back up and we'll rebuild and keep going again. So.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, a lot of us in the barbecue community, you know, we're all pretty close and we all, you know, do things on Thursday and Friday or Saturday nights, whatever, and y'all been part of some of the ones that we've been to, and just about all the ones we've been to, actually, that we see yet. So, you know, whether you go out to eat with somebody or, you know, you cook it there and everybody brings something, you know, if there's anything that anybody normally needs or whatever, you know, we're going to be right there behind you. If you need to pick up and go, you know, we're going to be there. So, I mean, it's really true for any barbecue team out there that we know.
Means a lot and stuff, because that's what somebody asked me. You know, why do you like going to these things? Just not to hear your name. I said, no. I said, it's like going to see family that you actually want to see.
Exactly.
It's almost like the holidays coming around and you actually get away. It's actually relatives, people you want to see, you know. And, I mean, it's awesome. I mean, it's just like we can't wait, you know, to the next cook-off. It's like Celeste was crying this weekend at me. I don't want to be cooking someone. I want to go see people. I was like, I'm sorry, I couldn't get off. We got to work. I said, unfortunately, I am a police officer first, barbecue second. I said, it does. It kills us when there's a weekend and we're watching everybody cooking and doing, and like Mark would still grill her, Facebook me going, ha, you got to work, you know, I mean, but, you know.
But you're putting in a lot of hours here. Coming in, hopefully it doesn't gain any strength. I mean, they still don't know what it's going to do.
No, I don't think they do. At first they did, but because we were actually going to be all scheduled to come back tonight, but we're scheduled first thing in the morning. We're back for emergency call. So hopefully it'll come through and just give us a little extra money and a few days of power here and there. They'll get energy, will get built back up and get everything hooked back up, and it won't be no Katrina. I could care less if I ever work 14, 16-hour days again for a month and a half in my lifetime at this place. It won't hurt me ever again.
I'd like to see it go down there and let it stall out as soon as it comes out and just turn to rain and cut those winds out.
Well, we're actually getting some of the bands from it right now where I'm at, so... You know, as Roger knows, that doesn't help a whole lot of landscaping. You've got five delay. Luckily, we got the wall finished up today and hold a lot of that water back in the drains and everything. But I realize they've gotten some sod on the dirt before it rained. But, you know, we're actually getting some bands from it right now. So, you know, just whip it on up here in Georgia. So,
actually,
we're not getting a whole lot of wind.
It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful evening right now. It's partly cloudy and like 88 degrees and I got some colors in the sky with the sun setting still. Couldn't tell there's a hurricane coming, I can tell you that.
Well, let's hope it dies out, drops down to a little tropical, just so everybody can say, well, that wasn't nothing.
Yeah.
Guys, I got one more caller on. He's been holding for about 22 minutes. I want to see who this is and see if he wants to call in and add anything. 864-230.
Hey, Jim.
Hello. Hey, man.
It's Randall Knight.
Hey, Randall. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Jim. How are you?
Good, man. Mr. Nars Barbecue, you sound a little tired. Did you do a lot of vending this past weekend up there at Greer?
You think? I didn't get home till past midnight on Saturday night.
Ouch.
And then I had to go back out there Friday morning or Saturday, Sunday morning and pick up a trailer. Then I had to go back and get the refrigerated truck. Anyway, for you guys that came to Greer, you know, this is kind of my backyard here. Greer is only 20 minutes from me, and I speak with Caroline on a regular basis on this thing. And some of you out there, if you have some concerns or suggestions, you can ask me about it today. If y'all could just inbox me via Facebook or email, she wants to improve this cook-off.
Yeah, I mean, we're not bitching and complaining. You know, we're just, I personally know it's a new event, and I know Mike and them do too. It's just, we don't know what kind of pull she's got with the committee, because we've heard, I've heard some different stories and stuff, and, and I was going to call and talk to her, this week about a couple things, but, we're not bitching or complaining by no means.
No. She knows no one's bitching and complaining, but she wants to know from you guys or all of us. I feel I'm up on the street. I'm right in the middle of everything because I'm vending and competing. But I kind of feel isolated from my barbecue buddies because they are back across the street from me in a 5-minute walk. But she wants to know what it would take to make it better for everybody. Your input on what she can do to improve it.
Do you really want to know an honest opinion, or does she really want to know an honest opinion on that, or do you want to hear something that you say on that?
Roger's not afraid to speak his mind. I can do that right now.
Tell the damn trains not to come through it every 3 hours.
No, I'm talking about the money. Why in the world, dear God, do you want to have $300 first place in any one category?
And then $2,500 grand.
That is true, and that is something that I have mentioned.
And Mike might agree with us here, too. We just put it out on the table. My theory behind that, Cornelia did something good. They had about the same amount of prize money, but they did a 5-4-3-2-1, and then they did like $1,500 grand, and it was like $800 or $1,000 for reserve.
Right.
That way, what teams are looking for, and to get more teams, I know Roger probably would have come if it was, set up like that, is we only want a chance to kind of win our money back. And you narrow it down to two slots, grand and reserve, to win your money back. That's not a very good odds. But if you do a little bit more in the categories to show the teams, you did really good in this, so we're going to reward you for it, add a little bit more money to that. Take a little bit away from grand and reserve grand, and, reward the reserve and the grand that way, but give the teams a little more money to compete for in each category, and I think you're going to see the competition grow and the competition, really gets stiffer.
That's sort of what I mentioned. I mentioned, let's take away from one and put on the other. Of course, I'm vending, so I kind of try to offset my competition costs with my vending costs. But let's take away from the grand and reserve and add to the category. That's kind of what I mentioned before.
What they've done is some contests up here that have the smaller purses. And I agree with taking. It was way top heavy. I mean, she had like $6,000, I guess, the way I was adding it up. I don't know how much first place in the category was. I mean, I guessed it was going up in $50 increments because we had, a third and a second.
It actually went 250, 200, 150, 150.
Right.
In the categories. And then she had 2,500 and then 1,500, which, like you said, it was kind of top-heavy for
It was way top-heavy, but what she could have done, first place in any category should at least get the team's entry fee back.
Well, yeah, if they went 5-4-3-2-1, which is a good standard to go by, and you got all the entry fees added up, whatever, so then whatever's left over, divide it between reserve and grand, on a certain scale. But,
right.
That way teams have a better chance of winning their entry money back,
That would be all their prize money, So 5-3-2-1, that's $100 times four. That's, $5,600 right there.
Or even, maybe 5, then 3, 2, 1, or something like that,
Or another option is what I was saying, that they do up this way. I mean, first place in the category should at least get 300 feet back. But, I mean, with 30 teams in the contest, top five is just pretty standard. You know, you get the honorable mentions for the 10 up. But some of the contests up here will then go out and pay the top five overall. So you take money from the grand and the reserve and then pay out third, fourth, and fifth.
Right.
And
that's another option, too. That gives you, you know, if you're going to pay out five place categories, you can do the same thing in the overall, too. And I know
right.
Lions does that, and several of the contests do that. And a lot of people like that format because, you know, like you said, you can place, you know, sixth to tenth and not really win any money, but then you come in, you know, third or fourth overall, and you got a little change in your pocket, you know?
Right.
And it's rewarding you for a consistent cook.
Right. And I think that would allow her, she could still be, I'd love to see her go up to $10,000 in prize money and stuff like that, but I doubt
if event sanctioned less than $10,000, that's in my opinion, but, you know, who am I?
No, there are, I bet you there's well over 100 comps, KCBS, that don't have 10 grand in them.
Oh, I agree with you. That's that. That's how we whore ourselves out. I just don't understand it.
But it's, I mean,
well, if I could get you to inbox me, you know, either via Facebook or my email, you know, when I go meet with her on Wednesday, I'd love to present these ideas to her to up it for next year.
We had to give her some ideas for next year, too. I'm sure she'll have a whole
year.
Yeah,
that's what she's wanting. She called me today and she said, give me some ideas. What do I need to do to make it better?
You put out a freaking hot streak during the awards.
Yeah, well, y'all talking about paying at least, you know, the top five. You know, a good example of that was in Lincolnton this year when we cooked up there. I didn't hear my name called because they only do the top five and the reserve and grand. But all four of my meets were 6th through 10th, and I came in 4th overall, and I never got to hear my name called. Then you got my lovely bride, which most of y'all know, looking at me going, why did you do this time to your meats? It's like, I didn't do anything to them. I thought they were good.
Well,
and then
you
sees that and gets mad that you didn't even get your name at least heard in there. I'm like, I don't know what to say.
Hey, I came in 12th overall in Greer, and I didn't get my name called in any damn thing. But, hey, I was the number one vendor, so, hey, I'll take that.
The
best time here this weekend at Myrtle Beach, Randall, we're vending, one of those rare times we're vending, and guess what?
Roger,
I've been asked to come to that competition, but I've got caterings this weekend, so I can't come down there, so I'm going to leave it to you to make all the money.
Bless already on me talking about Myrtle Beach. You're off this weekend. Get rid of your details. Let's go to Myrtle Beach. I said, baby, that's a 14-hour drive. That's too far. I said, I'm getting old. I can't drive that far anymore.
Roger, I'll give you a little bit of advice. I went through 100 racks of ribs this weekend, so you better start cooking now.
I got chubbed this weekend, Dave. You're not pulling that crap you did last weekend. Yes, it's a smack talk on the radio. We will have a little gamble with you.
Hey, this is the Killer Bee Smackdown show, so y'all go at it.
you remember last year's the weaknesses I had? You know, you remember that.
WWE ain't got crap on us. Let's go. We're slinging gear. We ain't talking it. We're slinging gear now.
This will make this fun. Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy? We know who David's daddy is. That's Bob. David's daddy's Bob.
You know who my mom is? My wife, Celeste.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, I got accused when I started this addictive hobby, like I'm sure most of y'all's wives accused you. Oh, you want a barbecue? That ain't for me. What am I going to get to do? Then, you know, we got lucky enough, and we were winning and hearing our names, and she's getting trophies, getting checks. And now it's if anybody ever tells you it's all about David, she is lying. Because at the end of it, if I don't do what she thinks I should have done or better, and see, I've gotten to the point where, well, if I know I had a decent cook, you know, I'm happy with it. I wanted more, but, you know, it's okay. But Celeste has turned into the Tilla of the Hun of barbecue. If I don't do what she thinks or better, she threatens to sell my pits. She's bodily harm to me now.
But tell us you get the damn pit, man.
They get that killer instinct, man.
Yeah.
It's all about the bling to the women. They get that killer instinct.
What is that? It is that. More.
I don't know. Marcy's one of those girls out here that she grumbles about a trophy. She wants to throw it in the gully somewhere, and she wants to know where the check is.
Mine still wants the check, but she looks up there, and if she sees those custom trophies, she looks at me, and she goes, I want one of those.
Well, sounds just like that.
Try to take a T-bone, a T-bone away. Try to take a steak out of a tiger's mouth. That's all I can tell you. It ain't no fun.
We got to throw somebody else into this pit. 828-291, who do we have?
Hey, Jim, it's Andrew.
Smoke hey, Andrew, how you doing, man?
Good.
Mr. GC of the week right here.
Yeah, I had no problem with the money payout down there. I don't know what you got a problem.
Well, I guess not, Andrew. Shit.
Well, we just lured you into that trap to call in.
Yeah. Andrew had to spend it on that watermelon ice cream.
Jim, remind me next time I see you or I have to send you a pretty picture. When Andrew was with us, he showed me two of the most beautiful money butts I have ever seen. The money muscles were a little straggly, but I've got a good picture to show you.
Was it the best butts at that contest?
I can't say that because there's too many people listening, unfortunately. But it was close.
I hope you out there. I hope you get the jack and fall flat on your face.
David, did they need to shave? Let me answer that.
You're gonna be in the back with no water or power. Take your own generator. Trust me.
Yeah. Well, we got that big 5500 on that new camper. That's what I talked about. You know, you went from, you know, Celeste tries to say it's all about me. It wasn't me. I went from a stick burner custom.
Be your blocker, bitch.
Yeah. A stick burner and a pop-up tent and chairs sleeping out all night to, you know, a stump, you know, pit to a work and play, you know, 18-foot work and play. Now we have a classic and a stretch stump fits. And now I have a $60,000 fifth-wheel motorhome with a generator and everything else attached to it and stickers and lights. But it's all about David. I told her, I said, yeah, okay.
Yeah, you're self-breeding.
David.
I had prosperity.
You got
so
a barn that fifth-wheel?
David, tell everybody where that cooker's at right now.
About the what?
Tell everybody where that cooker's at right now.
Well, Stretch made it into the living room at the house when it was into the bedroom during the winter months because I didn't have anywhere to store it at the time. But the classic right now is sitting in the bedroom with my wife, so there's no telling what's going on in there.
Andrew, back up.
I've shot too much crap. I missed something here. Are you telling me you have switched from the pellet cookers to actually something that cooks real wood?
No,
he's still on pellet. That's David.
David's in his bedroom right now. Keep it out of the weather.
Hey, he's talking about if you look on Facebook, you'll see the classic, because we didn't want to leave it out in the weather. And the toy hall is not big enough, both of them, so it's in my bedroom. It's sitting in the bedroom looking at my wife, so I'm sure her and him's having an affair or something.
Well, he's smoking hot, that's for sure.
Yeah.
What? So, Andrew, when you're going down to Myrtle Beach, I hear we're going to have to put up with your butt again this weekend.
Yeah, we're going to get out of here sometime Thursday.
Andrew, you coming down?
Okay. I'm going to warn you, Roger.
I'm in people's choice too, Roger.
I'm just trying to figure out who's coming down there because I can determine how much meat I need to bring.
Well, his FEC's aren't the only thing on fire. He's actually on fire, too, so, you know.
But the FEC's only going to win so long. After a while, he's going to just suck it up.
I tried to
Roger, just being clean your meat.
Andrew, are you really coming to Myrtle Beach?
Yeah, I'm coming.
How long was that, Andrew? 6 hours?
No, 5 hours.
Oh, okay. I missed it by an hour. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Marcia could have her martini waiting, and she don't want any garbage from you. Just have it ready and waiting.
Yeah, it's going to be Friday night at about 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And she's going to have several more.
But again, we know what our mission is. Go touch the brain up.
Yeah. Oh, Andrew, nope. he's really been on fire. He's a good old guy. He's a good old guy. I would give him that much.
I tried to talk him into coming to Maryland.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. I think I know where I'm going next year.
Well, Andrew, you can go fishing up there. They got a bar up on top of them. Here and stuff. I mean, you know, Mike could take really good care of you up there, Maryland.
Mike, I've got to know more about that contest. I must know more about the contest. I love everything you're saying about that contest. I got to hear more about it.
It's
hey, Jim. Earlier we were talking about the barbecue community and how they, you know, take for you and everything, and they do, and they, you know, try to take care of you. I'm gonna give a shout out to my brother there, Andrew. He did wake me up this morning about 7:30 after I'd been on night shift all night. And he did offer, if we needed to come up there to Hickory and get away from the storm in Louisiana, that my wife and us, we had a place. So I got to tell him that. I appreciate it.
You think he sounds rough now. You should have heard him this morning.
Yeah, that metal
thing. It was kind of comical. I felt bad, but it was comical.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Well, unfortunately, that's one of those...
David, I hope you and Celeste do well during the storm. I hope you're safe.
Oh, she will. She's already counting how much money she's getting.
Yeah, Marcia, they're going to get out of town and start heading up this way.
I hope it goes the other way. I really do. Y'all don't need that crap at all.
Well, I appreciate it, but
Georgia,
we don't weather one way or another. That's one thing, you know.
Just
most
have a
people,
hurricane,
you know,
party. Just have a big hurricane party, and it'll be okay.
Yeah.
Marcia's going to have one. Marcia, have one in your honor.
I know what all those hurricane parties all about. I've lived there.
I remember those when I was in college. Plenty of them.
She still had one last week. She had one last week. What are you talking about? So, I guess, Mike, you're heading to Maryland this weekend.
Sounds like everybody but David's else is going to be, Randall, you're staying, you're catering. So, yeah, I'll be in Maryland up here in Jack's Old South is going to be there. They came up here and beat us in our own state last year twice. But I know Tuppy's not going to make it this year, but... They'll have a pretty good lineup. Three Eyes has been cooking lights out this year.
Yeah, they've been like Smokehouse Mafia, just taking everything in the area, so, you know, leaving us the crumbs.
I think we need to do something about that.
Yeah.
Hey, do you know where I think he needs to teach us how to do something.
Yeah, we're going to take the Smokehouse Mafia class.
Yeah.
We want to be part of the family.
There you go.
Yeah, because don't let him lie to you talking about my ribs were like leather.
Yeah.
And he turns around and the chicken was a hockey puck.
Yeah.
And you get grand champion in Greenwood. Okay.
Yeah, they like hockey pucks and whip leather up there. So, you know, I've heard that before. I burned my brisket up. Oh, I got second.
Yeah.
That's a start with Jim Burke story there.
I'll be honest with you, I overcooked the shit out of my brisket, and I knew it.
I know you told me.
But that son of a bitch is going to tighten up, and it did. It tightened up just enough, I'll put it that way.
I wish mine would have tightened up.
Yeah, mine was, I did it on purpose, though. I got tired, you know, I hear people say, man, I had to use a spatula to place it because it was falling apart, and you come up to get, like, first or second of brisket, and I'm like, what the hell? You know, I'm like, all right, I'm going to try it. We, you know, two can play that game. So I did.
I pretty much I quit trying to figure it out. I just cook it the way I was taught now and let the hide go with the hair because I thought I know what they wanted in brisket, it turns around and you don't get nothing. And when you think, oh, I was hoping somebody would trip me, didn't want to even turn it in Fulton, and they turn around and they call you for a 180, and it's like, do what?
Who? Excuse me?
Yeah,
who?
It's like, huh? Who y'all talking about? Where, they got another Blue Bloods here. Where they at?
Really? They stole her name. But, well, David, when's yours next cook?
We won't cook again, unfortunately, till Decatur, Alabama.
Okay.
And then, I got a little, I think it was a 4-week little lull right here, which is, it ain't killing me as much, but it's killing Mama. She's going crazy.
Well, give her a couple more weeks. She'll really be going crazy.
Oh, she will.
All right, guys.
She will that.
I'm here trying to feed my fat gut and go to bed.
Yeah, old people.
David, are you planning on vacation next year to go to Kansas City?
Do I?
David, are you planning on going to Kansas City next year?
Well, let me say it this way. My wife has planned we are going to Kansas City next year. Yes, sir.
Yeah, he'll be there.
So, and hopefully, cross our fingers. Maybe we'll get the Jack call this week coming up shortly. Because I think there's only two of us from Louisiana that's got a shot. So, maybe I got a lucky shot. Maybe I can get her to Jack. That would be outstanding. To like I said, the first year and this ride has just been amazing this year. You know, we got six left, and you know, if we could get that or something, that would just be outstanding. I mean.
Well,
just to be there in presence, all the teams to be there. It would just be, you know, in awe. It'd be awesome.
We rode our first GC. We had the one shot, and we got to go to the Jack after our first GC, so I'm hoping it happens for you.
Well, I appreciate it. I hope it does, too. That would just be outstanding. It would be awesome.
Well, I'm glad we had a really good show, David. Glad you called in. Like I said, we've been thinking about you with that hurricane coming up through there. And,
I appreciate it.
You know, we're looking forward to seeing you out on the trail before too long. I know a path's going to cross before too long again. And
we'll see you out towards the bottom there.
Yeah. And, you know, we crossed paths a lot of times at the beginning of the season, so which was good. So, like I said, everything kind of runs in cycles, you know. Like Mike says, he'll do his run down around, you know, your neck of the woods, and he'll hit some in the middle of the country and then hit up there where he's at and come over to North Carolina and Georgia and South Carolina. So, you know, like I said, you got friends in every state you go to, and we all kind of look after one another when we're on the road and everything. So, you know, we just want to let everybody know that, you know, we you know, pray and hope everything goes all right with y'all the next couple of days and weather through it, and I know y'all will. And good luck in your next ventures.
I appreciate it. And good luck to all y'all. And hope all y'all get grands until I'm cooking with you. Then you can have sex.
All right. Well, thank you, Jim. And good luck to everybody in Fertile Beach.
Okay. Well, it's good talking to you too, Mike. And hopefully you have a good showing up there in Maryland. And, you know, as Myron say, beat Myron's ass, I guess.
Yeah.
But well, anyway.
Change. I don't think he's going to be able to come. I think they're starting the filming of the Pitmasters. But I guess
Right. Everybody's
in Myrtle Beach. I talked to Mark Breen into coming back up here because I think he was going to go to Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
So we'll have cereal grillers up here, and they won't be down there. So.
Well, yeah. Mark's all about that fresh seafood and stuff, so, you know, I'm sure he'd get a kick out of doing all that.
And I'm going to say one last thing before I get off and leave y'all alone. What's up with not Louisiana getting a shot at Pitmasters? What they think? We can only cook Cajun food down here? Yep. North Carolina people, man. Come on.
Yep.
Get Louisiana a shot.
They don't want no blackened brisket.
I turn in them whole smoked alligators to them. That'll be good, too.
That's what tell them. You know how to cook alligators and snake and all that. They just won't let y'all do that. You know,
oh, we can bite it harder than they can bite us. We'll eat it and kill it and cook it.
Yeah, coon asses usually can.
Anyway, good luck to all y'all, and can't wait to see y'all again on the barbecue trail, guys.
Thanks for calling in, David.
All right, y'all have a good one.
See you, David. All right. Well, Mike, like I said, it's good seeing you up there this weekend, and I know we'll be seeing you at a couple more cook-offs down this way. And also to a good friend of mine, Randall Knight, I think he probably is, if not, he's up to the top as far as being one of the hardest working men in barbecue. This man has barbecue sauce for blood. I'm not kidding you. I've never seen anybody pump out as much barbecue or do as many caterings as this guy does. So, Randall, my hat's off to you, buddy.
We try hard, brother. We try hard.
Every time I see you, you look so damn wore out. It's just, I just don't know, man.
Well, I'll be honest. I don't have a break till the end of the year, so. But and we take it when we can, and you know, I'm just grateful that I'm a word of mouth business, and it just comes to me, and I'm so thankful for everything that I have, and for the barbecue community that just keeps bringing it to me.
Well, like I said, you know, everybody's got to be thankful for something, and you know, I know Mike's thankful for being in barbecue, and I know he does caterings and stuff, and you know, loves to compete, and you know, he's able to do that. Same with you, you know, you compete and cook at these events and stuff, and I mean, you pump out a lot of food while you're competing, and that's no easy task because I've done it before, and
go ahead.
Not at your magnitude, but you know, you do it at several events. I do it at one, which is like a half mile from my house. But still, I know kind of what you go through, and you know, there's several other teams that do it. But I don't know of any team that does as much as you do, or even does the catering, the kinds and the size of catering. Now, Mike, I don't know if you know, but this man has barbecued a whole cow. It ain't a whole hog; it's a whole cow.
So
I don't know how many people. I don't know how many people can pull that off, but, you know, with pictures on Facebook, Randall, you have to send them to him. It's just unbelievable. I mean, 900-pound animal up there on the spit. So, you know, everything impresses me, and that's one of them. So, but my hat's off to you.
I tell you what, this weekend really put a test to me because we did the competition, we did the catering, we did the Taster's Choice. I did the VIP dinner on Saturday night for $125, and everything went off with a success. And I'm just totally shocked and impressed that I just pulled it off. I'm amazed that I have such a good team that works with me. So.
Yeah, it's not just the pit master; it's your support crew too. So I know Sid's a good help and everything, and. We can't do it without backbones, whether it be our wives or, you know, good friends that help you out and everything. You've always got to have that. So, but, you know, I just think, you know, the whole barbecue community comes together. And like I said, if people can do that and compete and be successful, you know, more power to them. And,
oh, yeah. Yep.
So I guess we'll be seeing you somewhere soon down the road, I believe.
I guess the next time I see you will be Lawrence.
Yep. So, and I probably believe you'll be right behind me again burning your leg up. But anyway, that's another story.
That's another story at another time.
That's right. So, next time Mike's in the area, we'll let him in on that one.
Yeah, I look
Mike, we'll have to get together a little bit on Thursday night next time and sit around and chat and have a few drinks. So, y'all be safe. Y'all be safe, honestly, and I hope y'all get a call. I hope you're the last one called. Good luck in your next ventures, and hopefully we'll cross paths again, and, of course, we'll keep it in touch on Facebook.
All righty. Thank you. Y'all have a good one.
Bye. All right. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Randall. Well, there you have it. That's the end of the Killer Bees Barbecue Show up here on Barbecue Superstars. If you get a chance, join Barbecue Superstars. It doesn't cost that much. And you really help really good cause.
And we'll see you next week, next Monday. Y'all have a good one. Keep on queuing.